Mary Doyle, welcome to The Signal. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I want to start by asking you to talk a bit about your own long-ranging career in the U.S. Army. 20 years plus, all over the globe. Talk about where you've been stationed and the kind of work you've done along the way.
Well, I actually started out as an Army reservist. So I worked a civilian job, reported to my reserve unit on the weekends and in the summer. And actually joined because my brother dared me to. He said I could make it through basic training. But I joined the Army Reserve. I was first a supply clerk. Then I went into Intel as an Intel analyst. And eventually, I retrained to be a broadcaster. And spent some time at Fort Snelling, Minnesota with my reserve unit. And each summer, we would go someplace different. Sometimes it was Honduras, Guatemala, Thailand, and eventually my unit was deployed to Bosnia for the peacekeeping mission, and we were there for 9 months. And while I was there, I produced broadcast stories, TV and radio stories for American Forces Network in Frankfurt, Germany. After that 9-month deployment, I went back to the States, and I was actually working at a TV station. I was pushing a camera in a studio for TV news, and I was bored. So I started applying for jobs as a civilian in Germany, and I got a job, and I moved there and was there for almost 8 years.
As a civilian in Germany doing what?
As a civilian working for the Army. Mm-hmm. I was working for 5th Corps, so they had infantry divisions and armored divisions and Apache helicopter units. So we would go wherever they were and film their training, do stories about what training they were doing. So I went all over the place, Bulgaria, Poland. I went to Egypt once with the Army Field Band and just a lot of different places.
And your career continues now here at Fort Meade in Maryland.
Right. So I left Germany. I came to Fort Meade, and I was a broadcaster there for a couple of years, then became a public affairs specialist. I left there and went to Korea and was in Korea for a couple of years doing command information, writing spots, basically, for AFN. And then I came back here, and now I'm at Fort Meade again, and I'm a media relations specialist.
You also now have a burgeoning fiction career to add to that portfolio as well. You've written a number of well-received books already, and now you have just published a mystery novel. This is titled The Peacekeeper's Photograph. And this book stars as its protagonist a tough but vulnerable African-American female officer, a Master Sergeant Lauren Harper. She's a media relations officer for the U.S. Army at a remote outpost in Bosnia during the NATO peacekeeping mission there in the mid-1990s. I imagine you didn't have to look too far to find inspiration for this hero of ours.
Yeah, well, they tell you write what you know.
Yeah.
She is not me. Lauren Harper is definitely not me. The location and the job and the things that she sort of does while she's there, you know, are very much from my experiences. But Harper is a lot smarter and a lot more brave and a lot more adventurous than I have ever could ever hope to be. And I just drew on what I knew and made her up.
Mary, before we continue, let me ask you just to lay out the scenario that unfolds at the beginning of this mystery novel and how things begin to sort of get tangled for Master Sergeant Harper from there.
Well, Harper is based at McGovern Base in Bosnia.
Which was a real base.
It was a real base,
peacekeeping mission
during the peacekeeping mission. It's in the northern portion of Bosnia near a town called Brčko. She goes out on a mission one day to shoot some video, and she comes back in the afternoon and goes into her trailer that she shares with her soldier and finds her soldier dead.
And this is a subordinate, someone that basically works under her jurisdiction as a fellow journalist.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So she's a master sergeant. I have to correct you. You said she was an officer.
Okay.
She's actually an NCO, a non-commissioned officer.
An NCO. Thank you. I accept
right.
the correction.
The backbone of the Army. So she comes home and she finds her specialist E4 dead in her trailer, and the story sort of unfolds from there.
One of the subtle things that I think really adds to the suspense in this story is just the sheer claustrophobia of this military outpost in the remotes of Bosnia. I mean, It's always raining. Everyone's boots are always muddy. And as far as the murder mystery and everything surrounding it is concerned, these details and revelations for a great majority of the book really trickle in at a kind of a torturously slow rate. While you've got this Master Sergeant Harper pacing around this outpost that's essentially like a cage, a closed fortress out there in the middle of nowhere. It's rendered in hyper-realistic literary detail. I wonder if you might talk a bit about your own experience with that kind of a deployment, you know, that what that little sort of a military town unto itself is like day to day.
Yeah, and I think anybody who has been deployed in uniform, even some civilians who've been deployed, understand that claustrophobia. It's, you know, sometimes you feel as if, you know, the walls are supposed to be there as a defense, but it almost feels like you're in a prison because you don't have that freedom of movement to go whenever you want. And there's no privacy. You eat with a whole bunch of people. You shower with a whole bunch of people. And, you know, the other part of it is that you do develop very, very close relationships with people. The people that I deployed with, there were only five of us from my unit. There were about 2,000 people on McGovern base. And I was one of about eight women, I think, that were, you know, American soldiers. There were translators, but there weren't that many women.
In a situation like that, I can only imagine that the ones that you get along with, you feel very, very emotionally close to, and the ones that get on your nerves have a tendency to really get on your nerves. I mean, that happens to your protagonist
right.
in this story as well.
Right. She's living with someone that she doesn't get along with very well. And even though she is supposed to be this person's supervisor, this person's mentor, she just doesn't like her. And it's difficult for her to share that trailer with her, look at her every day, you know, get up with her every day. And that antagonism that they have feeds into her being a suspect in the murder.
Right. Yeah. Master Sergeant Harper finds herself with her back against the wall. She's a suspect in the murder of this bunkmate and subordinate, even as she's gathering clues to find the real killer. And then so along the way in this search, her mission to find clues dovetails with a British officer, Sergeant Major Harry Fogg. He's out to solve another possibly connected mystery, the disappearance of two BBC reporters. And they end up making sort of an unlikely pair of sleuths and really developing a strong relationship with each other. Talk about these two and the odd team that they forge with each other.
Yeah, Harry is a I really have no idea where I came up with Harry. Yeah.
He's a real charmer.
He is very charming, and he's a great big brute of a guy. When Harper meets him, he's got a broken tooth, and you know, he kind of looks like the kind of guy that if you ran into him in an alley, you'd want to turn around and run the other way. But at the same time, he's charmed by her and she's charmed by him. And they find themselves kind of working on the same path. And that relationship will build as the books go on in book two and book three. That relationship continues.
I should say, this book, The Peacekeeper's Photograph, is number one in a planned trilogy of Master Sergeant Harper mysteries.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Sapper's Plot is out as well. I'm still penning the, right now it's being called The Ranger's Obsession. I'm not sure if that will stick with it. But anyway, Harry, you know, I love Harry. Everybody loves Harry. He's just a really smart guy. And I watch a lot of BBC America, so I hope that I've, you know, captured his vernacular. He speaks very, very British.
He's got a very convincing dialect. He's got convincing British mannerisms, always wanting a cup of tea. And, but he really ends up being sort of a hero right alongside Master Sergeant Harper. If you're just joining us, you're tuned to The Signal. I'm Aaron Henkin, joined this week by author M.L. Doyle. Doyle's mystery novel, The Peacekeeper's Photograph, takes readers into a web of intrigue and scandal at a U.S. military outpost in the remotes of Bosnia during the NATO mission conducted there in the mid-1990s. And Mary Doyle, this is like a classic noir-style page-turner. It just happens to unfold inside this military microcosm that you're quite familiar with. But let me ask you about the genre itself. I mean, how did you end up gravitating to mystery writing? You must be a fan of the genre.
I am a fan, but to be perfectly honest, I found myself back in the States after living in Germany for a while, and I was bored. So I took a class at Anne Arundel Community College. It was a mystery writing class, and I'd been writing short stories, and I wrote a screenplay and all kinds of things, but I'd never really tried to write a mystery. And the goal of the class was to write a short story, a mystery short story. But I got this idea of Harper and the Peacekeeper's photograph, and it just turned into this novel. And that was, 6 or 7 years ago. The book's been through many, many rewrites. But it did really start with a short story mystery class at Anne Arundel Community College.
Well, you were definitely a quick study. I mean, this book has got all the elements of a classic mystery novel. It's got red herrings. It's got cliffhanger endings at the ends of the chapters. It's got really promising characters who end up sort of disappointing you. It's got really humble, harmless-seeming characters who end up being really villainous. You must have learned a lot, and quickly.
Well, and I'm a huge fan of Dick Francis. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was a British author. He died recently. He was over 90 years old. But he was the Queen's jockey, and he retired from horse racing and became a mystery author, and I think he wrote like 50 mysteries. I've read them all. I've read several of them several times, and the one thing about Dick Francis that I always loved was he always started the mystery the very first page, and that's why I wanted Harper to find that body, the very first page, and drag you along with her, as she may have feelings about who did it, and she may have feelings about people, but she's never quite sure until the very end, and that's kind of how I got that from Dick, and I will always probably keep that in any mystery that I write.
Well, you employ your skill well. I confess I'm about 20 pages from the end of the story, but there have been some major revelations and some major action that's just happened. I'll probably go back to this book as soon as we're done talking. But you know what? It's a mystery. We can't talk about the ending anyway. Let me ask you instead, maybe to say a little bit more about your own work over the years as a journalist for the Army, a media relations officer, a media relations NCO. It must be really interesting and probably exhausting to do that work. I mean, so much of a military's campaign hinges on controlling the message, right? The narrative about how and why an operation is being conducted, message crafting. I guess you have a strategic mission in your own way, in the same way that a battlefield operative does.
To be honest, I would just tell the stories. I mean, I would go out and find the fuel handler who was fueling up the Apache helicopters. I found one woman. She's fueling these Apache helicopters in the middle of this field, and it's dirty, hot, exhausting work. And I start talking to her, and she's 35 years old. She has 3 children. She joined the Army on like September 19th, 2001. 9/11 is what made her join the Army. She left her kids, left her husband, and raised her hand and decided to join the Army and end up being this fuel handler, doing this really horrible, dirty, stinky job. And it's those kinds of people that you run into, and it's really easy to tell that kind of story. It's not a lot of crafting. I think outside media do more of that than we do. When a broadcaster, an Army broadcaster, is telling a story, we're pretty much just telling the story of the service members that we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember one exercise. It was in Germany. It was like January, freezing cold. It was really cold, snow on the ground. And we were in this field for 2 or 3 weeks, I think, and living in tents. And there was this group of guys who their job was to make sure everybody had fuel for their kerosene heaters in their tents. So they were driving down this road, early in the morning. There's steam coming out of their noses, their snot frozen on their faces, and they've got their leather gloves, they're all full of fuel, and they're laughing and they're joking, and they're bringing people you know, what they need to stay warm, and they do it because it's their duty, and because they're with people that they care about. And, you know, how can you not tell that story? You know, how can you not admire people who, against all real reason, will, you know, go out and do that sort of thing and be happy about it?
I think radio listeners right now are hearing some of that natural storytelling instinct of yours that obviously you honed as a journalist and now have put to good use as a novelist. Mary Doyle has served the U.S. Army both in uniform and as a civilian at home and abroad for more than 20 years. She's the author most recently of the mystery novel, The Peacekeeper's Photograph, the first in a trilogy of mystery novels about Master Sergeant Harper, who bears a striking resemblance in many ways to the author. You can find out more about M.L. Doyle and her writing online at mldoyleauthor.com. And Mary Doyle, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for the conversation.
Thanks, Aaron. It was great to be here.